Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes when I sit down and when
So let's start. Jesus is the good shepherd of your life. One of the most common images in all the Bible, both Old Testament and New, is that of the shepherd. Even though most of us have never been brought up and raised on a farm, we all know basically what a shepherd is about and does for his living. Shepherd and sheep. Common sense tells us that the shepherd tends the sheep of his flock. The flock might be big, small, or medium sized. In any case, the shepherd is responsible for his sheep. All in one. The shepherd has a double responsibility. First, the shepherd must watch over, guide, protect, and at times defend the whole of his flock from dangers. However, the responsibility of the shepherd also is to watch over each and every one of his sheep individually. If you like, he calls each by name. In other words, the whole flock is important, but also each sheep individually. The enemy of the flock and each sheep. Of all the animals, the animal that threatens most seriously the welfare of the flock and individual sheep is that of a wolf. A wolf. Did you guys ever watch National Geographic? National Geographic is pretty interesting. I saw a documentary a few years ago about wolves. And it happened in this way. You had this buffalo that was running in the desert. And a buffalo is a very big animal. Pretty fast, maybe weighs about a half a ton. And very strong. And the buffalo was running in the desert and kicking up a lot of dust and making a lot of noise and with his huffs. And all of a sudden you see this animal out of nowhere from behind a bush shoots out and is running after the buffalo. And it's about maybe about the size of two football fields, about 200 yards away. And that animal that's running after the buffalo is a wolf. If you've ever seen a wolf, it looks kind of like a German shepherd. About the size of a German shepherd. Usually they're thinner, but you know their teeth are very, very sharp, and they're very fast, and they're very intelligent animals. So you see this buffalo that's running faster and faster, and the buffalo is totally unaware of the fact that The wolf is gaining ground on the buffalo, and it's cut down to 100 yards. And the buffalo is running, kicking up dirt, making more and more noise with his huff, and it's 50 yards. The wolf is running faster and faster. Once again, the buffalo oblivious to the reality that there's someone running after him. Then it's 10 yards, and the buffalo is making even more noise than ever, kicking up more dirt. And then the wolf arrives about 3 feet away, and the wolf dives in the air and bites at the foot of the buffalo. And the buffalo collapses. Within about three or four minutes, there's not one wolf, but there's two wolves, and three, four. Then there's a pack of seven wolves that are looking at the buffalo that's lying on the ground. The one that bit his foot, the most audacious, with his sharp teeth, bites into him. Then another one bites into him. Then a third bites into him. Then a fourth bites into him. Then all of them start to bite into him. Within 5 minutes, there's only the bones of the buffalo. True story. It's what happens. The buffalo is bigger. The buffalo is stronger. The buffalo is more muscular. But the wolf is much more astute and intelligent. The wolf is the devil in our lives. You know, the devil is very crafty. The devil looks for our kryptonite. Remember Superman? You heard of Superman, right? He looks for our kryptonite to shoot for the kill. So we have to be well prepared. Guys, you've ever played sports like wrestling or baseball or soccer, a lot of it is you have to know the weak point of your opponent. Huh? If you play soccer, you have to see where there's an opening and drive in and shoot. You have to find where there's an opening. You know? In baseball, you know what it is. You have to see if your pitcher to see whether or not the guy can hit a fastball, a curveball, a slider, or maybe a changeup. In wrestling, you have to see where there's an opening. Or in boxing, if the guy, the boxer, he's got his arms up and he puts them down, a swift uppercut can be a KO, a knockout, right? Or in debating, a debating club, I see where your weak point is, I go for the kill. Jesus calls us sheep. He says, I am the shepherd, you're the sheep. The key for us to keep away from the wolf is we have to stay close to the good shepherd. Amen? Got that? For us to keep away from that wolf, or wolves, we have to stay close to the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Psalm 23, right? So we as sheep, we're surrounded by a lot of wolves. A lot of wolves out there. Some of you are thinking, you're crazy, Father. There's no wolves in wine gardens. There's no cholos. There's no drugs. There's no drinking. There's no marijuana. There's no pornography. There's no violence. You see what I'm talking about? There are different types of, you know, not a physical wolf that's going to be attacking you, but there are a lot of invisible wolves. You hear that? A lot of invisible wolves, and they got very sharp teeth, and they wanna attack us. So if we wander away from the Good Shepherd, we're wandering toward the wolf. And wolf is an animal that is ruthless, is brutal, is merciless. You know those three words? He's merciless, he's ruthless, he's brutal. If he sees an opening. No, I don't really like this sport that much, but now and then, sometimes when I'm traveling on a plane, you know, two times a year, often there's like a boxing match on. And I watched a really good film called Cinderella Man, probably one of the best movies on boxing that's ever been made, no? And when I was your age, I was a wrestler, but I was not a boxer. And I was wrestling when I was about your age, and I started to lift weights when I was about 13 or 14. I started to run, so I was in pretty good shape. And I was in the featherweight, you know, the lighter ones. I was only about 90 pounds. And I remember we had the match. So I remember the first guy I wrestled, I pinned in 4 seconds. So I took the guy, just threw him down, and I pinned him. It was a piece of cake. And the second guy pinned in 30 seconds. The reason why is because I was much stronger lifting weights than the other guy. They're kind of pushovers. But you know what happened was that parallel to me, there was another guy that was winning just as easily I was. And we were both going to end up like the Astros against the Nationals. If you know what baseball is, no? And guess who the other guy was? He's my best friend. Oh boy, Jim Nolan. He was my best friend, and he was my best friend for many years. He was a really good wrestler, and I was. Guess who ended up in the finals? Me and Jim Nolan. And we started out, and we were good friends, but once we got in the mat, we were the worst enemies in New Jersey. We were cutthroat. I went after him, and I knocked him down. Then he threw me over, and I knocked him down. I knocked one of his teeth out, okay? And then he took me, any of you know what wrestling is? He threw me into the net, into the mat, and I get a nosebleed, which I lost about a pint of blood. It was one of the most ruthless wrestling matches in the history of that school, and I finally won 6-4, no? I was their age, 14. And that's the last time I ever wrestled. That was it. I hung up my wrestling badge and I thought this was enough. No? But I've often thought that our spiritual life is kind of like wrestling. You have to see the weak point of the other guy and you got to take him down. And you have to pin him, you know. You got to take him down, then you get a couple of points. No? Because either you can win by pinning or by points if you know anything about wrestling. No? The devil wants to take us down, he wants to pin us, right? So we want to learn how we can fight the good fight, right? Run the good race and win the crown that's waiting for us. So this topic is very important because we are in battle against the enemies of our soul, among which the devil is the chief. Got that? So go to the bottom of the page. Wolf compared to sheep. Both are very different in many ways. Starting with the sheep. See, this animal is very weak and in many ways. The sheep is not strong and does not have sharp claws for defense. You know that? Still more, the sheep do not have very much of a memory. Did you know that? That is to say, if the sheep wanders from the flock, there is a good chance that the sheep does not know how to get back to the flock and the safety of the rod of the shepherd. So he's weak, has no claws, and has no memory. What happens if he encounters a wolf? He's dead meat, huh? Okay, the wolf. Okay, here's a contrast now. How about the wolf? Very intelligent animal. Might call him tricky, astute, crafty, and to a certain extent mean. Yeah. Furthermore, even though the wolf is not a big animal, like a German shepherd, he's very fast. He's got sharp teeth. And he goes for the kill. To make things worse, many wolves travel in packs. You know what that means? They have good teamwork. Teamwork skills. Often they surround their prey and attack as a team. Hard to escape such a vicious and intelligent team tactic. So the story it told, there was one wolf that jumped up and bit the foot of the buffalo, and the buffalo collapsed to the ground. But within about 4 or 5 minutes, the other pack, 6 or 7 wolves, were surrounding the buffalo, and then they started to bite in, to tear in, and to rip apart that buffalo, and there were just the bones of the buffalo left. Remember seeing that National Geographic a few years ago, and I thought I would use that as a teaching device, no? Probably saw it 4 or 5 times because they're repeating it in different scenarios, and I thought, this is very applicable to our spiritual life, right? Okay, so you ready? Application to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we the sheep of the flock. Questions to respond to the image of the shepherd and sheep. Who is the Good Shepherd for us? Okay, the response is simply Jesus. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we are the sheep of his flock. This we can read and meditate upon in John chapter 10. Number 2. What are the qualities of Jesus the Good Shepherd? Okay, these are many. We should seriously pray over these qualities and take them to heart in our lives and their relationship to Jesus. So what we're going to do now, we're going to try to apply the image of Jesus the Good Shepherd to us. Got that? I'm going to try, okay, apply this Good Shepherd image of Jesus to us, the sheep of his flock. Okay, so number 3, Jesus he watches over us. Jesus watches over us. So this means that Jesus is constantly thinking about us. He has us in mind. His eyes never go to sleep, but are constantly fixed on us at all time, places, and circumstances. So no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, Jesus is looking at you with care, compassion, and love. That's important. Even when we're sleeping. Even when we're resting, Jesus is looking at us every moment with care, compassion, and love. Right, Diego? Number 2. Jesus knows us by name. Jesus knows us by name. There's a difference between saying, "Hey, you," and Luis, right? What's the difference? There is a difference, right? Hey, you! Or Diego. Is there a difference? Because one is very anonymous and very impersonal, the other is much more personal. So Jesus calls us all by name. We're not just an anonymous cog in a wheel. We're not just a faceless, anonymous one of 7 billion people in the world. But Jesus knows, it's interesting, of the 7 billion people in the world, Jesus knows everyone by name. It's interesting, isn't it? 7.1 billion today, something like that, the sociologists say. Jesus knows every one of them by name, and he loves everyone. And he wants to be loved by everyone. Do you think your name is important? Yeah. Our name is important, yeah. So that's the personal touch of Jesus. He calls all of us by name. Okay, we're not a cog in the wheel or a grain of sand on the seashore or a fluttering leaf blown by the wind. Good images, huh? Rather, Jesus knows each and every one of us by name. We are all very important for Jesus. Boys, just think about this. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you on the cross. That's how important you are. Ever think about that? So if you were the only person in the whole universe, Jesus would have shed every drop of his blood for you and for you too. And you too. That's how important they are. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. I'm not exaggerating. Because you're saved not by the blood of lambs, but the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus on Calvary, right? Number six. Jesus protects you. You know one way I think he protects us? Many years ago, I must have been 6 or 7 years old, I was on my bike driving down this steep hill, moving at a really fast pace, and I was heading toward traffic, and all of a sudden I was about to rush into traffic, and there was like a 4th Street intersection with trucks and buses going really quick, and my brakes wouldn't work in my bike. And I was moving really fast. Like a daredevil little kid. I mean, I could drive my bike pretty well. And all of a sudden, I was about to rush into traffic, and the brakes wouldn't work. And all of a sudden, right before rushing the traffic, my bike stopped. It must have been my guardian angel. It must have been. Because for some reason, the brakes, they just wouldn't work. And I was rushing headlong into the traffic, and boom! Right before this bus would have flattened me like a pancake. I'd be in the cemetery there in New York. How often has happened that God has intervened to save us from disaster? You ever drive with your parents? Your parents drive? You ever drive on the freeway and maybe they almost got into an accident? Ever happen? Ever happen? Yeah, and you thought, man, this is it. We're in the hospital. We're going to be in the cemetery within maybe 3 or 4 days. No? And all of a sudden, the traffic cleared up and nothing happened. It's probably God that intervened through the guardian angels to save us from that disaster. Do you believe it? So God protects us in many ways. And he protects us through through the mediation of the angels, the saints, and His Blessed Mother. Okay, the Good Shepherd has a he has a staff in his hand. That is not just to walk and to avoid stumbling, but also to ward off the enemy, who is the wolf. Number 7. Jesus defends you. When the wolf is on the prowl and getting close for a frontal attack, this is number seven we're still on. When the wolf is on the prowl and getting close for a frontal attack, then Jesus, the Good Shepherd, blocks the path with his rod and staff, preventing the wolf from harming you. Number 8. Jesus feeds you. Shepherd must feed his sheep with abundant and healthy grazing grass. As good shepherd of your soul, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, feeds you most especially in two ways. With his word, which is the Bible truth, and with the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the bread of life. If you don't eat, you're going to get weak, right? You're going to lose a lot of weight. But also, eventually, if you don't eat, we're all going to die. What's more important, your soul or your body? What do you think? What's more important, your soul or your body? Of course. How do you nourish your soul? You know?
Praying to God.
And what about Mass? Can you eat something in Mass? What is that?
The Eucharist.
So if you nourish yourself on the Eucharist, you're going to be strong. Do you know how many times you can receive the Eucharist? Actually, did you know if you go to Mass, like in the morning, and then you go to Mass in the evening, you can actually receive communion twice a day. Have you ever done that? Probably with a certain frequency, right? You maybe go to 8 o'clock Mass, and then maybe 6:15, maybe even today, huh? So people have actually, in this parish, they receive communion even twice a day. You guys should receive communion at least once a week. At least once a week. You know, I'm noticing, Luis, past 2.5 years, your mother comes to Mass almost every day. I saw her today at 3:30, no? And I was talking about that. Hey, Cleotilde, do you go to Mass every day? Yeah, about the past couple of years, no? How do you feel about that? I feel good. How about you? When you go to daily Mass, how do you feel?
I feel if I don't go, I'm something wrong with my
Right. You feel kind of empty? Kind of sad, maybe depressed, you feel weaker, you know, you feel kind of drowsy, lost, no?
A little lost,
yeah. So if you guys, if you haven't received communion, make sure that you start to receive communion. And all of you, you have to go to confession, okay? You know what that is? What's that? Directly to God, right?
Yeah.
Directly to God? No. You sound like you're a Jehovah's Witness.
No.
Or you're a Mormon. You're a born-again Christian. How? Can you go to confession to your grandmother?
No.
Your abuelita in Mexico? No? What?
So
you have to go through the priest. OK? Okay? So you have to go through the priest. So you do that, then your sins are forgiven, and you receive the Eucharist, and you're on fire. You're on fire. Sure, your grandfather go to Mass? Once a year? What's that? Every day, right? Yeah, he's got a grandfather, really very prayerful, good man. They go to Mass every day, maybe even twice a day, right? He really loved to receive the Eucharist, no? My mom was 88 years old. She goes to Mass every day, too. But people that are really trying to grow in their faith, they try to go to Mass on a daily basis. You guys can't because you got your school, but you could probably go twice a week, maybe go on Saturday or Friday after school, and then on Sunday. Right? Okay. Number 9. Jesus, He brings you back. A good shepherd traces down the lost sheep and brings the sheep back on his shoulders and rejoices. Jesus welcomes us back when we wander into sin after we have made a good sacramental confession to the priest who represents Jesus, the good shepherd. You know, with respect to the shepherd, Jesus tells a parable. He tells a parable of there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one of the sheep wandered from the fold, the flock. Now, I've always lived in cities. I've never lived on a farm, so I don't have too much actual experience with flocks and sheep and animals the way someone who lives on a ranch or a farm. But Moises, I've thought about this more than once. If I had 100 sheep and one got lost, I'd say, who cares? Let them go. I guess I got 99. You know? Will you do the same thing? I got 99. Who cares about the one? 100, you lose one. Big deal. Big deal. You got 99. Who cares about one? No. Well, that's not the way Jesus thinks. Jesus says he leaves the 99 there with the flock, and he goes out and he looks for the lost sheep. And if you ever Google in the lost sheep and you look at images, there's some really, really good paintings on that. And one of my favorites is you have Jesus, he's bending over, there's a sheep that's fallen off the cliff into a crevice, into a hole, and he's bending over and he's got the crown of thorns on, and he's got a thorn branch in his back. You got these birds that are hovering over the lost sheep. But do you know what those birds are?
Vultures.
Yeah. Do you know the nature of a vulture, what it's like? Yeah. A vulture is carnivorous. You know what that means? Yeah, most birds, they just eat like branches and eat, you know, worms. But vultures actually eat meat. And they have a sixth sense that if they see another animal or a person that's in danger, they are aware that they're in danger, and they'll start to swoop down and start to eat. And like the wolves, they also travel in flocks. There's one, then another one will come. So that picture shows the vultures above you, and Jesus is bending over to pick up the sheep. Beautiful picture. And really what it means is this, that there are 7 billion people in the world. You're one of them, but you're very important. Yeah. That's the idea. The 99, leaving the 99 and going after the one. All of you are very important. And all of you here, you have a mission. God is going to give you all a mission in life that you have to carry out. All of you are different. You have to ask God, what is my mission in life? And you got to carry it out. And probably our worst enemy is la flojera. Speak Spanish? What's la flojera? What? Laziness is probably our worst enemy. They all said it, right? At least they know one word in Spanish, huh? Hopefully you know the word, but you're not putting it into practice, right? So we don't want to be lazy, but rather we want to cultivate the gift that God has given to us, right? Okay, so let's move on to number 10. Jesus heals. Jesus heals the wounds. The shepherd heals the wounds of the wandering herd sheep. Jesus does the same once again through the healing grace of the sacrament of confession. So when you commit a sin, your soul is wounded. Okay? It's like you got a cut, you got a wound, you got a scar. When you go to confession, that wound is healed. Got that? It's healed. Okay, Jesus loves the sheep. The most important quality of the good shepherd is that he truly loves his flock and loves each one of the sheep individually. His love is permanent. It never changes. This is one of the temptations of the devil. Well, I made a mistake. I maybe commit this sin. God doesn't really love me, or loves me less. It's not true. God always loves us. So let's look at some of the different wolves, spiritual, moral wolves that can go after us. Drinking. And that does not mean Gatorade, okay? Or Pepsi Cola. Drinking alcoholic beverages. You got that? Sexual immorality. Look at the wolf there. Pornography. Look at the wolf there. Drugs. Look at the wolf there. Gang activity. Abortion. Do you know what abortion is? You ever hear the word abortion? What does abortion mean? Killing an innocent baby in the womb, right? Is that right or wrong? What do you think? Good. Why do you think it's wrong? Good. What would you say, Luis? You're a philosopher in disguise, right? You know what? Why is it wrong, abortion?
Because the child itself is innocent. It has done nothing wrong, and yet the person wants to kill it.
Well said. Very good. All good answers. But I'd like to add my own two cents, if you give me permission. It's this. From the moment of conception until natural death. What's that?
Original sin.
Yeah, because of original sin, we commit sins. But I think this is a good way to start. Who gives life? Who takes life away? So God gives life, right? And God takes life away. So only God has the right to give life, and only God has the right to take life away. And life begins at the moment of conception in the woman, the mother. So the very moment of conception, you've got human life. The moment of conception, also God infuses an immortal soul that will live for all eternity. Got that? Okay, so abortion and gambling. Do you know what gambling is? Okay, you got this. They got the casino here in Hawaiian Gardens, right? Gambling. You got a big gambling center in the very center. I tell people, if you don't know the Hawaiian Gardens, there's two very famous places, and they're the Casino of Hawaiian Gardens and St. Peter Chanel Catholic Church. So those are the two most famous places in the city, you know. Hopefully more people come to church than the casino, right? But there's stiff competition. You ever go by, there's always people pulling in there, no? And if I walk by there, and they're dressed in my habit, oh, they're looking at me, oh, good luck, huh? Maybe Father will give me good luck. Father, if I win $250,000, I'll give you $1 at your church, okay? Maybe $2, huh? If he's in a good mood, huh? Okay. Modern wolves. What might be some of the modern wolves in the present society that are on the prowl to surround, attack, kill, and devour? Sin and vices are the modern wolves, and there are many. There are many. Prayer to the Good Shepherd. Is there a prayer that we might pray to establish a deeper relationship and friendship with Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd of our souls? Yes. Most likely, this is the most famous psalm, prayer of the Old Testament in the whole Bible. Prayed by Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, and even Jewish people. It is the psalm of the Good Shepherd. It's the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Okay, what psalm number is the Psalm of the Good Shepherd? You're good with numbers, what would it be? Don't hide your talent under a bushel basket. Tell me what number it is. You know. 23. Psalm 23. It's the most famous psalm in the whole Bible. Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Could any of you guys be a good shepherd? Any of you have anyone in your home, maybe a brother or a sister that's younger than you, or a cousin, or no? So could you be a good shepherd to maybe one of your younger siblings? In what way? I need to apply this to your life. Maybe you could be kind. Maybe you could help out. Maybe you could share. Maybe you could smile. Maybe you could pray with. Maybe give some type of a gift. What do you think? What? Yeah, all of them. Maybe start off with one of them. You know, start off with one. How about in school? Do you think you maybe could be a good shepherd in school with... Are you the only one there in the school? Someone that may be sad and depressed, maybe say something kind to the guy, right?
I'm stretching.
What?
I'm stretching.
Oh, stretching, okay. Looks like he's raising his hand. I was about to give you a high five. No, but the way you treat other people, you can be a good shepherd. The way you treat other people, because those other people are going through a tough time, you can be a good shepherd. But the key for you to be a good shepherd of the sheep, you have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Can you repeat that? It's like a tongue twister, huh? For you to be a good shepherd to the sheep, you have to be a good sheep to the good shepherd. Got that? Can you repeat it? Can you repeat it? So you can be
a good shepherd.
You got it. It's not that hard. You have to try to pay attention, huh? You weren't paying attention, Louise. Okay, so the next final question is, if finally, where does Jesus refer to himself as the Good Shepherd? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus applies Psalm 23 to himself when he says, I am the Good Shepherd. Got that? I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. We should get into the habit of talking often to Jesus and recognize his love and care for me, so much so that he laid down his life for me. How great is the love that Jesus has for you and for me. Turn to Mary and ask her to help us have a good relationship with Jesus, the Good Shepherd of our lives, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Laid thy hand, O Lord, how could I understand?
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.